joining us here on the program. Golden Eagles 7-9 on the season as they enter Region 9 North play. And, Coach, it is certainly a pleasure to have you on, and congratulations on the milestone on Monday night against Western Nebraska, your 200th win as head coach at LCCC. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you.
To get the 200 wins, and I know you're a team guy and everything like that, you'll credit the players that have been there, but what did that mean to you when you picked up that victory when the Golden Eagles won on Monday night to get your 200th win?
Didn't mean a whole lot to me.
No.
Really, it didn't mean a lot at the time. When I sat and thought about it a little bit later in the evening, it's you think about the process to get here, the trials and tribulations or whatever you want to call it to get to that point, and how long. Like, wow, this is 12th season here, and that's a pretty good record of long, more so than the milestone. The milestone of 200 is just a marker of the consistency we've had. I'm more proud of that, the fact that we finished in the top half, or basically finished first, second, or third in our conference for 8 of the last 9 seasons. So that level of consistency is, I'm much more proud of that than the number of wins. But the number of wins is a marker of that consistency.
That win on Monday was over the team that was ranked number 23 in the country right now, Western Nebraska. You know, it gives you guys a 7-9 record. Is that a win where, you know, maybe it's something you guys can kind of to build on and get some momentum going as you go into the second half of the season?
I hope so. I mean, I definitely feel like it was validated the efforts to this point. We brought our guys back pretty early. I think they were wondering why. Why are we back here on the 27th of December? We don't play till January 7. I'm sure they were all kind of wondering that because it's a ghost town on campus. Certainly on the 27th, it was a ghost town. We were back as the men's and women's basketball teams were back before the campus was open. So literally the lights were out on campus when these guys came back. And I think they were probably wondering, why are we doing this? Why are we here? And so Monday night's win over they're number 23 now, but a month ago they were in the top 10, I think. I think they were as high as 7th. So that's a really, really good opponent. And opponent that a month ago to the day, on from January 7 to December 7, December 7, these beat us by 26. So I think that really showed that we're on the right path with our team and our guys, and hopefully it gives them a lot of confidence going into now conference play.
What changed, Jason, from that first meeting to this meeting against WNCC?
Well, the big change, the first time we played zone defense almost exclusively. We thought we wanted to keep David Appelgren next to the rim to protect the rim, and that didn't work. Their starting center, Martin Rube, shoots very well from the three, and he had 26 or 27 the first time we played him. Monday night, David got out. We played man-to-man. David got out, blocked his first three. He went 0-for-5 from the three for the game, so that was a big factor. And then how we attack them offensively. We asked some guys that need to step up and take and make some threes. One of them was Courtney Dean. He went 5-for-10. Mateo Zovko went 3-for-4. So, you know, we needed some guys to step up and take threes because in the first matchup, they doubled David in the post, and we figured that they would do that again, double David in the post, and they did. And we needed to throw it in there, get them to double team, and then kick it out, and guys jump up and make threes, and we did that.
Talking to Jason Ficca, the head coach of the LCCC men's basketball team. Now, you guys open up Region 9 North play. How does this Region 9 North stack up this year? Because I'm looking at the names, you know, Casper's traditionally good, Sheridan's traditionally good, Gillette has made runs to the tournament, the national tournament. Is the North the strong side, do you believe? I know you've played a number of the teams in the South. How does that kind of stack up, do you think?
Well, we played everybody in the South now except for Lamar at least once. I think the North is a little bit deeper than the South. I mean, we have one more team, so by that alone, we're deeper. But I think the North's a little deeper. Maybe so because Eastern Wyoming, I think, is better than they have been in the past. They have a new coach. They're playing much better. So when us and Eastern move from the south to the north this year. Eastern came over, and their level of play is increasing. So I think it really makes the north an even stronger conference. Casper's in the, moved in the top 10 this week, and Sheridan's nationally ranked. So you got two nationally ranked teams in the north side. Gillette is always good. There are a lot of unknowns, though. You got four new coaches in the state of Wyoming in the junior colleges, at Western Wyoming, Central, Northwest, and Eastern. So some of it's a little bit up in the air, but the traditional powers are still right there. Casper, Sheridan, Gillette. I'd like to think we'll end up in that conversation, too.
Yeah, you mentioned you know, David Applegren. I know when we talked before the season started, you talked about how the fact that, you know, he's a seven-footer, but he's not just big, that he's you know, he's got some polish and he's got some skill. Has that really just kind of, you know, borne out throughout the year?
Well, David's development or his improvement as a player has been through the roof. I mean, he's gotten so much better from day one, and it's just been about getting comfortable with the junior college style of play. He was in the U.S. last year playing some prep school or post-grad stuff, but that's different than the college level and different level of physicality. And as he's adjusted, which he's adjusted very quickly to that, as soon as he's adjusted to the physical nature of the game, his improvement has just been astronomical. And he's, you know, he's starting to get a lot of recruiting attention because of that. And generally speaking, if you're 7 foot and you can walk and chew gum at the same time, you're going to get recruited. But he's really starting to show he's got some game.
You know, Jason, we had a long conversation yesterday on the show about the just how basketball has changed so much, where you're not seeing the true post-up players. And looking up and down roster, you don't see the letter C next to guys very often anymore. And I'm looking at your roster with David. Yeah, you see the letter C. But you're getting away from true post players nowadays, right? I mean, you don't see those types of players anymore.
Not really. You don't. And we don't even really use David as a true center.
Right.
And that's where his skill set is. We have him running sideline to sideline, doing a lot of pick and roll stuff. And then we slip him into the post. We don't really play him in the post. We slip him in there. But you're right. It seems like the word center and power forward have become dirty words. You know, everybody wants to be, no, I'm a guard, I'm a small forward, no, I'm a three-man, don't call me a four-man. It's, you know, it's like, I get it if you're the center in football, you know, you got the tough job, the no-glory job. But in basketball, all five guys do the same thing. You all get to shoot, you all get to dribble, you all get to pass, you know. So what does it matter what the position designation is, as long as you're on the floor? But we've got a lot of players that really resist what we tell them their position is. And we've had guys, I'm not a power forward, I'm a small forward. Okay, call yourself a small forward, but you're going to guard the other team's power forward.
That's good stuff right there. You know, we've talked to you a number of times about just the number of players you've moved on to the next level, and I know Landon is finding some success at Fairfield shooting. I mean, he's just continuing to shoot the you-know-what out of the ball there. Do you have any guys that are getting some looks right now at the next level, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, we're really freshman loaded, a couple of several of these freshmen are qualifiers. You know, I'm confident that you know, Hayden Collier and Stefan Manzi, both of our sophomores, they'll be they're borderline Division I guys, possibly no doubt, no brainer D2 guys. David's getting recruited very heavily now. It's really starting to pick up on him. Tyrese Potoma is a qualifier. He's starting to get some attention in the recruitment. So I think we'll still have a very good core back. I don't have a whole lot of hope that David will be back. We could have everybody, all these freshmen back except for David. He's getting recruited high enough and hard enough that it would be in his best interest to tell him the best move is to come back here. So he's probably a one-year guy for us. But the future's very bright. If we can keep this nucleus minus David all coming back, we'll be in really good shape next year.
What's that conversation like when a guy, you know, you're at a two-year school and after 1 year he's being recruited so highly? What is that conversation like for you, the player, and the family to go over those options without getting, you know, too personal?
It's easy. You know, if your focus is on what's in the best interest of the kid, of the student, or the player, whatever, however you want to label him, then it's easy. Hey, and in David's case, he's an academic qualifier, so he's earned the right to be at a four-year university, and the kid got a 4.0 last semester. I mean, what more are we going to do for him? And that's the way I look at it. Like, if you come back, is somebody, he's getting recruited everywhere from the SEC to the Ivy League right now.
Wow.
And so, you know, who's gonna recruit him that's not recruiting him already if he comes back? So the opportunity for him to go to a four-year university and be there for 3 or possibly 4 years if a team decides to redshirt him next year, I mean, that's just being a little selfish and not having the kid's best interest if we said, no, David, you need to come back to Laramie County. We're not going to do anything more for him. He could do a lot more for us, but I don't think we can put him in a better position if he comes back to get recruited at a higher level than he already is.
Jason Fick is joining us here on the program. As you look forward to the Region 9 North season, you got the win, as JJ alluded to, over Western Nebraska, but do you get a sense that, that you've got something brewing here, that you can get some momentum going? You mentioned you're still freshman, late in this season. Are you getting a good feeling about the direction that this team is headed now that you're getting into conference play?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we've known we were going to take some lumps early on from day one when we basically reset the roster with all these freshmen. We knew it. I thought we'd shoot the ball a little bit better, and if we just shot the ball even modestly well in the first semester from the three, we'd be 9-6 instead of 6-9 at the break. So we're a couple of made shots away from being a well over 500 team, and now we've got 5 out of 6, including last two nights ago's game, 5 out of 6 starting the new year at home. So I really feel like we got a chance to get in a rhythm offensively, shoot the ball better, shoot the ball more comfortably in our gym, and hopefully that will carry on to road games and we'll be a little more potent offensively down the stretch here.
You talk about all the home games you've got. You've got a game tomorrow night at 7:30 against Northwest College. Without maybe giving up the game plan, what kind of things you got to be concerned about about the Trappers?
Well, the numbers they're very similar to us. They're statistically speaking very close. They score about the same many points. They give up nearly the same amount of points. Their records are the same. Our records are the same. And then when you watch them on video, our fundamental offense is the same. We run a lot of handoff ball screen action on the sideline. So do they. So it's a lot of a mirror image of ourselves in a lot of ways. Different personnel trying to do the same thing. So our prep for this game was pretty simple. We know how to guard ourselves in practice, so we're just pretty much going to apply the way we guard ourselves in practice to tomorrow night's game.
Right. So you guys know how to guard yourselves. They know how to guard themselves. What decides a game like that?
I think the intangible factors, the hustle points, the effort, the 50-50 balls, the rebounding, those things. We've got to take advantage of the fact that I assume they're going to drive down tomorrow from Powell. That's a long day. Sure. We've done it. We did it last year, drove up to Powell, and we're lucky enough to win up there. But it's a long, hard day on the driving kitty corner across the state of Wyoming. And so we've got to take advantage of that they're going to be getting off the bus trying to compete. So there's a lot of kind of the intangible things that will make the difference when both teams are close like this.
Jason Fick, the head coach of the LCCC men's basketball team, kind enough to join us here on the program. The Golden Eagles taking on Northwest College tomorrow. The women go at 5:30, men follow at 7:30, and that'll be over at the rack at the on the campus of Laramie County Community College. Jason, we always appreciate the time, man. Congratulations on the 200th win, and best of luck. We'll be keeping tabs the rest of the season. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
You got it. There you go. Jason Fick joining us here on the Sports Zone. All right, we got to take a break. We need to get into our great outdoors from the Cowboys State News Network. It's being brought to you locally.